A strong America is a peaceful America. The security of our nation is the mission of the United States Army. The Department of the Army invites you to listen to Campus Salute, featuring United States Army Band under the leadership of Captain Hugh Curry. From the nation's capital, the Mutual Network, in cooperation with the Department of the Army, presents the 45th in a series of tributes in words and music to the great colleges of our nation. Today, America looks to these great schools as the bulwark of future peace, for knowledge is the foundation of freedom, the cornerstone of international understanding. And now, the United States Army Band and Chorus, under the direction of Captain Hugh Curry, salute Michigan State College with the MSC Fight Song. Capital of Michigan, parent city of East Lansing, home of Michigan State College of Agriculture and Applied Science. Until 1847, Detroit was the capital of the state, but when political tempers grew hot and a couple of the state legislatures were burned in effigy, the governing body decided then was time to move the capital. Someone suggested Lansing. Not seriously, for Lansing in 1847 had exactly one log house and one sawmill. But evidently, the legislature was serious. It decided to move to the new capital in the wilderness. Lansing did not remain a wilderness long. It grew with amazing speed. And hardly 10 years had passed when, in 1855, the state of Michigan authorized the first agricultural college in the nation. Its campus was the present site of East Lansing, a city born of the American desire for knowledge and understanding. There were 100 students in 1857 and 4 professors. They were starting an experiment in education for farming and farm living, an education that began literally from the ground up. For the campus had to be cleared of a mass of stumps, and students found just one extracurricular activity at Michigan State in those founding days, wood chopping. To those early pioneers in education at Michigan State, we dedicate this rousing namesake march by W.S. Coffee, Michigan. Thank you. the case of Michigan State College, the first 40 years were the hardest. Although being first in the field is usually an achievement to be proud of, Michigan State did find that it had its drawbacks. It was known as Michigan Agricultural College then, and many a new college followed in its footsteps. That was flattering. But when those new institutions began to draw on the faculty of the pioneer, it left Michigan State hard-pressed for replacements. But the evidence is all there in East Lansing to demonstrate that obstacles were merely turned into stepping stones. By 1885, engineering had joined agriculture at Michigan State, and just before the turn of the century, the demands of the distaff side were answered with a home economics department. Applied science and liberal arts appeared as part of the curriculum in 1921 and 1924. With those diversified courses, it was obvious that a change in name from Michigan Agricultural to Michigan State was long overdue. In 1925, that new designation became official. And from that year on, Michigan State joined the ranks of the great colleges of this nation. And now, the United States Army Band turns to the highly descriptive music of Carlton Colby as we listen to Headlines.
Thank you.
talk about your queen for a day, Michigan State boasts one of the most versatile queen honors in the nation. Homecoming queen, winter carnival queen, blue key sweetheart, Mardi Gras queen, Delta Chi dream girl, and even a dairy queen. Well, that gives you an idea of the lighter side of collegiate life, sparkling bright at MSC. The annual J.H. Hop attracts more than 1,300 couples, and for good wholesome fun, there's the Forester's Shindig. It's sort of a great Burnham Woods to Michigan State shall come, with the women's gymnasium turned into a miniature pine forest. And collegiate lumberjacks and foresters with eight-week beards trip the not-so-light fantastic. One of the outstanding highlights is the Coronation Ball, sponsored by ROTC cadet officers. And a touch of beauty is added by the honorary co-ed lieutenant colonels of each branch of the regiment. This next number may have a familiar note to those male students who are working their way through college. It's Sergeant Ollie Kaler leading the dance orchestra of the United States Army Band in I Can't Give You Anything But Love, Baby. It, the Plowboy Infantry back in 1857. That was the start of Michigan State's military program, and those first college infantry units saw action in the Civil War. Half a century later, on that fateful April in 1917, when this nation entered the First World War, 687 men of Michigan State joined the armed services as commissioned officers. 10 times that number served in World War II. 350 gave their lives. And two Marines, Lieutenant Colonel Harry L. Martin and Oscar C. Johnson, were awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. Yes, in the interest of national security, Michigan State has always been in the forefront. Some 10,000 men trained for specialized air and ground force duty on the widespread campus of Michigan State. Today, the ROTC unit at MSC is the third largest in the United States. And as for the GI Bill of Rights in Education, this figure speaks for itself. 8,265 veterans enrolled in 1946, more than the entire enrollment for Michigan State in 1942. For fast tempo, the United States Army Band could hardly have chosen a more racing melody than Ernesto Lecuona's Gitan Yarias. Now, by special transcription, we bring you an interview with a noted alumnus of Michigan State College, the Director of Information for the Department of Agriculture, Mr. Keith Heimbaugh.
Thanks, Doug Mitchell. It's a great pleasure to be on today's Army program, Campus Salute, honoring Michigan State College.
I understand a good deal of the time you spent at Michigan State, not only as a student, but also a member of the staff.
Yes, Doug, I was on the staff of the college from the time I graduated in 1928. Until I came to Washington in 1934 to join the Department of Agriculture.
Well, then, naturally, you must have majored in agriculture, Mr. Heimbaugh.
That would seem natural, but I didn't. I was one of the first liberal arts students at Michigan State, but I did end up with an agricultural education. I had to work my way through school, and the writing and broadcasting I did in those years was concerned mainly with agriculture.
Well, I'm always glad to meet a fellow broadcaster. Tell me, how did you happen to get started in radio?
Well, Doug, my radio career began rather accidentally back in 1926, in the early days of radio. At the end of my sophomore year, I took over while the program director of the college station, WKAR, went on vacation. He never came back, so I was program director.
Well, that's one way to get to the top. Did you ever have any chance to broadcast sports in those days?
We certainly did. Many of our listeners in Michigan will recall the name of Jimmy Hasselman. He was one of the early sports announcers in this country, and I am quite sure broadcast the first running account of a basketball game back in 1923.
Did you ever do a play-by-play, Mr. Heimbaugh?
Only when Jimmy Hasselman wasn't on hand to take care of the event. I was a sports writer for several years, and I still have a lot of interest in sports at Michigan State. You know, Doug, practically all Michigan State football games these days are big games against teams like Michigan, Notre Dame, and Penn State. Spartan teams are top-notch in basketball and baseball, too. And in other college sports, Michigan State has a proud record.
How about that game this afternoon with Penn State? You got to go out on a limb?
Well, Doug, it ought to be a hard-fought contest between well-matched teams this afternoon. I'm prejudiced, of course, and so I'll venture the prediction that Michigan State will be the winner.
Thank you, Keith Heimbaugh. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just listened to an interview with an outstanding alumnus of Michigan State College, Mr. Keith Heimbaugh, Director of Information for the Department of Agriculture. And now, here's some inspiration for Michigan State as the chorus of the United States Army Band sings a medley of MSC Shadows and the Alma Mater.
I
If there is any one man more than any other responsible for the expansion of Michigan State College, that man is John A. Hanna. When you come right down to it, John A. Hanna grew with the college. He was a graduate of Michigan State in 1923 and joined the faculty immediately afterward. In 1935, he became the secretary of the State Board of Agriculture, the governing board of the college. And in 1941, John A. Hanna was the unanimous choice of the board to become the new president of Michigan State College. Cold figures don't begin to tell the story, but the growth of Michigan State from 3,000 to 15,000 students is a heartwarming study in statistics. Behind those figures is the story of a man and a school. Every modern facility has been made available to attain Michigan State's educational goal, training for effective living as citizens. And so to the faculty, the alumni, the student body of Michigan State, who are undoubtedly anticipating a battle royal on the gridiron this afternoon, we dedicate this most appropriate march, Battle Royal. Listening to the Department of the Army Mutual Network presentation of Campus Salute, Today's program was written and produced by Stanley Field. The United States Army Band was under the direction of Captain Hugh Curry, and the chorus led by Lieutenant Samuel Loboda. Next week, over many of these same stations, we will again present the official United States Army Band under the leadership of Captain Hugh Curry in a campus salute to Wake Forest College. This is United Nations Week, set aside to remind you that you are a part of the United Nations. Understand your United Nations problems, support its achievement in health and welfare. Have faith in the United Nations goal of worldwide peace. This broadcast has come to you from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.